3, 2, 1. We are starting the podcast.
Wow, that is a dynamic intro. I can't think of a more dynamic intro than
Do you know
that.
What's actually, it's funny that you said that. You know what you know what makes me laugh or just what is funny is podcast intros. How do you intro a podcast? Yeah. I like intros that just kind of people start talking, but
no, that's my favorite.
It's funny. There is like a standard podcast intro, which is kind of a funny thing. How do you invite somebody into a conversation? You know?
Yeah. And who invented that? Like you have to have something like, cause I feel like you should have something snappy before your actual topic that you're getting into.
Yeah.
Cause then if you just start going into the topic, I don't know. I mean, I guess some of those podcasts work actually.
When you start a podcast with just like a line that's like, what was that? What does that mean? Or something funny, it kind of grabs people's attention, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What would be your number one just like line that grabs people's attention?
Welcome?
Oh, I have an idea. You know, okay, have you ever heard of the artist DJ Khaled?
Okay, you said that funny. It's DJ Khaled.
DJ Khaled. I don't know how to say it. That's
Your
how you
A
say it.
Is weird.
DJ Khaled. You've heard of him, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Or you know, like in some songs, when they start, someone will be like, we the best new music. Or someone in the background will be like, another one. What if we did that at the beginning of our podcast?
Just channel our inner
like,
DJ Khaled.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Infertility Feelings podcast. And you in the background. It's Jesse. I think that's a great idea.
That is so appropriate for infertility.
I think it works. We the best new podcast. I think it works. Is that copyrighted?
Yes,
we
that
probably
is copyrighted.
Just got shut down right
yes,
now.
Yes, we did. We absolutely did.
Well, without further ado, welcome to the Infertility Feelings podcast with Jesse.
Welcome back to the Infertility Feelings podcast, your place to process, cry, and laugh about infertility. We are so happy to have you here, and we really hope you enjoy today's conversation. Well, here's a right turn into Feelingsville, from DJ Khaled to feelings about infertility.
With that intro, here is a crazy transition to talking about probably one of the most like sensitive, real topics when it comes to infertility.
I feel like this came to me actually, this topic. I mean, it comes up all the time in our groups and process groups and Instagram and from people, but I feel like it hit me in the middle of the night, actually like 2 mornings ago when I was waking up. You know that like in between time where it's like, are you dreaming? Are you awake? Whatever.
Yeah. I've been there for about 4 years.
That's where your inner DJ Khaled
lives.
Yeah,
that's true.
Is that time? Is all your DJ Khaled dreams in that time? I feel like it's, I was thinking about it in my own personal journey, and I feel like I've talked to people about this a lot, is how do you grieve something like infertility when it feels like it's attached to someone, but it's not attached to someone?
Yeah.
Not actually physically attached to someone.
I think that's a profound idea. I like, you said it a little earlier, you said, how do you grieve, in infertility, how do you grieve when there's no object sometimes to grieve?
Yes.
There's no... Maybe you've been struggling to get pregnant and that feels like a grief, but there's no person to grieve. Maybe you've suffered a loss and you've lost, you've lost a baby, but it's like, but that's hard to communicate to people.
Yeah.
There's like this extreme sense of grief with no real place to put it. You're almost
right.
Like you're looking for a way to like memorialize the grief.
Yes.
When if you lose a grandparent or a parent,
right.
Which that's horrible.
Right.
But there is almost a cultural sense of, I lost my dad. And people are like,
oh I get
man.
That.
And
yeah.
Then, but if you're struggling with infertility, you've experienced a loss. You're going through, feels like the same, you know, I want to compare grief, but the pain is real and the grief
is real
and you are suffering through real grief and trauma. And if you've been in a position like that, you know exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And then you bring that to people and it's not understood well. And then even in your own self,
I feel like that's
it's hard
it.
To understand for yourself too.
That's yeah. it. Is it's hard to explain because it's hard to feel. And it's complicated to feel. And you're almost, for me, I'm almost judging myself in it too. So it's also something hard and complicated within your soul to figure out because you're like, it feels like it's like out there. It's like infertility. It feels like it's like you can't touch something to it. You can't go out and touch it. You can't feel it. You can't like see it. in front of your face. It's just this hole, it feels like, of loss and grieving. But the hole is not a tangible hole. It's more like a metaphoric hole. Whoa.
Don't talk about metaphorical holes.
Did I just become a philosopher? I think you did. I think just then.
It's.
I'm waiting for my master's degree. Thank you.
We laugh and we're light about it. But the reality is it's like, I think it's two things. It's probably one of the most tender, sad, difficult things to talk about. It's very like a very sad, hard thing to look at. But I also think it's very confusing. There's a confusing aspect to this part of infertility.
The feeling of missing, but the person didn't exist. It's a feeling of missing someone that you never got to meet. That's what it is. There it is. And that is unlike anything else. Really?
It's hard to put that in. And that this being the Infertility Feelings podcast, it's hard to put that feeling into words.
Yeah. Yeah. And I
say it again. It's what?
It's a feeling of missing and longing and really missing someone that you've never met. Like, what the hell? How do you do that? And I think for me, I felt like it was even like it was almost like a circle of, you shouldn't feel that sad. You shouldn't be that sad. It's not really anything. And then but I feel sad, and it is sad, and it is a big deal, and it is something to back up to be like, but it wasn't really anything. You don't really need to grieve this. I mean, you do need to grieve it, but like, you shouldn't have the same feelings of someone who maybe has lost someone who is real in their lives, tangible in their lives. Yours is almost like, it feels a little bit like make-believe. Like, I feel like it was like, but it's make-believe. And it's like, that was just really complicated to finally get my head around that and to not judge myself for grieving that. Or like, I feel like I would say, and I've heard other people say this, I'm like, I just feel so silly. I just feel so stupid. I just feel so dumb for grieving this thing because it's not really attached to a person because it's someone I've never met. But then it is.
Yeah, I feel that way. I feel like during the holidays a little bit, like during these months, I like the way you say you're grieving the loss of someone that never got to exist.
Yeah.
And I feel that during the holidays sometimes. Maybe the holidays make you feel more nostalgic or...
These damn holidays.
Whatever, family oriented, or you're kind of just introspective and pensive and thinking about life. And you almost have that feeling of, I'm missing someone. I'm longing for this person that never got to exist, and I'm in a way grieving the loss of their existence, but the way that I could communicate that to someone is so confusing. Well, we were trying for a while, and it's just like, how do you bring that to someone? How do you bring that to yourself in any sort of way that feels like a justifiable reason to actually grieve?
Yes. You know? And I think why the holidays bring that up is because a lot of our dreams of families are attached to holidays. I just figured that out. You're welcome.
to me or to...
No, to you.
To the world?
To you. But like in August, when you're thinking about growing a family, you're not thinking about the month of August.
Not usually. Or March.
Maybe you have a birthday in August and you'd be like, great, that'd be really awesome if I could have a kid around my birthday. Maybe not. But... You know, it's like you're thinking about...
But December 15th?
Yes.
That's usually a time where you're like, man, like this is kind of... I had a vision of this person that doesn't exist in my head on December 15th.
Yes.
I kind of knew what it was going to be like.
Exactly. Yeah. That's not going to be in March. That's not going to be in June. That's not going to be in any of these other random months. Maybe not even January. It's going to be October, November, December. It's probably where the majority of those dreams started. And the majority of where the dreams died in a way, or that you, I feel like for me, I like made up what it was going to be, what it was going to look like, how we were going to look like, what were we going to be on Christmas morning? What were we going to do on Thanksgiving? Are we going to get the little like gobble, gobble beer, a bib beard?
Gobble, Sorry. Gobble beard.
I was looking at your face and I looked at your beard and I said,
that happens
beard.
To people sometimes and when they look at me, they just beard. They can't help it.
Bib. And I only say that because I had a gobble gobble bib that I really wanted to put on my child at Thanksgiving. And it's like, I think that's where the dream comes. And that's why it's heavier and nostalgic and feels more pressing around these times. I think it's because it's attached to our dreams.
Yeah.
And letting that go is extremely difficult.
Right. Can I use a Christmas movie analogy?
I would love a Christmas movie analogy.
Have you seen the movie Christmas Vacation?
Are you kidding me?
Do you live and breathe the movie Christmas Vacation?
Yes, thank you. Is it our family jokes of the last 100 years of my life? Yes.
Christmas Vacation. If you haven't seen that movie, this won't make any sense, but I kind of will. Do you know that there's two families that live next door to each other in Christmas Vacation? There's the Griswolds, right?
Yes.
Who have like all their family over. They have kids. Kind of crazy. It's a whole thing, right? The Griswolds. But then their next door neighbors are this sporty, I don't know how you would classify them. Sporty business. Almost like 90s, 80s couple.
It's like they didn't get a Christmas tree. They like run in matching jumping.
I think in the movie
suits.
They're supposed to be kind of the polar opposite of what the Griswolds are. It's like the Griswolds are like messy family, like all over the place.
And they're polished business,
matching
Nike running outfits plastic on their carpets because they don't want to get stains.
Here's where my analogy and the connection comes in is that I think what we're talking about, this struggle of grieving and processing the loss of someone who never existed or never got the chance to exist in a way, is a sense of struggling with meaning. For me, that's what it was in a lot of times with infertility, is grieving this loss of meaning. And it's not that you don't have a meaning anymore. It's that the meaning that I had thought was going to be there is not there. I've lost that meaning. It in a way, for this season, has died. And I have to grieve that. And that's a really interesting, difficult thing to grieve, because meaning is a hard thing to understand in and of itself.
I don't even know if I understand it quite
yet. Well, that's the hard thing. And that's me being, my whole, a lot of things I care about. But is that understanding your meaning is an important thing. Generally, it looks like becoming the type of person that you wanted to be, or living this vision that you had for yourself.
And infertility robs that.
Right. You lose that in infertility, and all of a sudden you're struggling with meaning. Like, I feel like I generally know my purpose in life, but what is my meaning right now? Then you get to the holidays, and you probably definitely had a vision for what your life would look like during the holidays. Maybe that included kids or being pregnant or whatever. And then you're like, well, now how do I deal with it? How do I deal with the holidays when I'm grappling with the sense of meaning? And now I connect this back to Christmas Vacation, is I envisioned my life. I envisioned being the Griswolds, not their neighbors. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I'm kind of like standing, and I have this vision, like I'm standing in the street going like, well, which one am I? You know what I mean? Like, cause I always wanted to be this like family that has kids, and I'm chopping down a tree, and like people are coming over, and we got presents everywhere.
You're fixing the newel post?
Yes, but fixing the newel post. Or am I over here where they're like, I kind of wish we would have gotten a tree, and they're like, they're kind of tacky, but yeah, maybe we should have. And it's like, I didn't think that I was gonna, like, I thought I was gonna be over here and not over here. And that sense of struggling with meaning, or having to accept a stage of life or a place in life that you're at, is such a hard thing to internally process and externally communicate to people. I feel like for me, what this season represents and this topic represents is a level of deep grief and deep confusion about meaning.
I feel like step one is internal. Yeah. And for me, step one was unjudgmental. Mm-hmm. That was step one.
Yeah.
Judging myself for feeling weird or stupid or uncomfortable or like, this doesn't make sense, of grieving someone that I've never met or missing someone that I've never met.
Yeah.
So I think that was step one for me, was take the judgment off the shelf. Like, just feel, just grieve, just open yourself up to this huge pain, which was really painful, and just step into it.
And maybe allow it to be a big grief.
Yeah.
Allowed to be a really big grief.
It still is a grief.
Yeah.
For me, it still is a grief.
It's allowed to be really painful.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some things about my personality and your personality that I really like, that I can think about to this day, that we never got to pass on to someone, and that's just really difficult. It's like, yeah. But I think for me, it was step one, no judgment. And then it was just allowing myself to feel. But I think I really thought that it was too big to process. There was a time there where I was like, I am going to be swallowed by this. And it's so interesting, because the more I processed it, the less I felt swallowed by it.
Yeah, the more you looked at it, the less.
You cry. It's just sensitive. It's just hard. It's a hard thing to do. And I feel for people because I was in the same boat of just like, this feels so massive and it feels so heavy. Looking at it will only feel heavier.
Yeah.
And the part of that is true. Part of that is true. Looking at it is heavy. Looking at it is hard. But that is the way to honor them, really.
Yeah.
It's the way to honor them. It's the way to honor these dreams, these babies, this family that we all wanted so bad. It's a way to
and
honor
still
them.
Want, yeah.
And it's a way to almost make them feel closer.
Yeah.
I never thought about it that way. To make it feel closer, to feel like I am going to look at this because you deserved to be looked at. You deserve to be grieved. You deserve to be seen. And it's like so emotional. It's like, and in a way, like I'm the mother that you never got to have, and you're the child that I never got to have. And so a way that I can honor you is looking at it and talking about you and the dream that I had for you and grieve them. But I seriously think that I thought I would be swallowed and I would not be able to move on with life. And then I quickly realized that it was the opposite. It was the only way to move on. Was to look at it and grieve it and hold it. And it's in a way honoring. It's an honoring way to hold your grief is to look at it.
The way that you talk about that is beautiful. It also feels very meta in a way of how self-
I love that you love that word, meta.
But how self-aware you are of it. I'm grieving this person that didn't get to exist. I am the mother you were supposed to have. You were the child I was supposed to have. Did it feel like you were able to understand it at that level when, like, maybe in the middle of trying, in the middle of treatment? Because I'm wondering if someone's listening to this, should they be expecting to have that level of, like, pulling it all together from that level? Or does it just feel like crap and you're kind of just almost like a little lost and confused, like a little numb and just lost?
Oh, absolutely. I feel like in the moment, I sometimes forgot that we were even trying to have a baby.
That's an interesting
point. I was just trying to like get through the day of shots.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or wrap my mind around the fact, I remember we were sitting in our IUI, doing our IUI, getting our IUI done. And we were fighting. Of course, it's a funny story for a different day. We were literally fighting. And I looked up at the ceiling and I thought, how did we get here? And that's what I was thinking about. I was not thinking about getting pregnant, really. I wasn't really thinking about the baby or our future children. I was like, how did we get here? How was this our story? So no, I think it's so hard to do. It's that quote that your dad always says that I love. Sometimes you're standing too close to the painting.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, I was standing so close to the painting, I couldn't back up and see the big picture. And I don't think you always should or can.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that you should or you shouldn't or whatever. It's just, it's really hard to do when you're in the thick of it.
Totally. Because
you're staring at that little piece of the painting and you're just like, get through the shots or get through this IVF or get through this, whatever, waiting period or whatever. And sometimes you need to like, it's hard. I don't want to say sometimes you should. It's hard sometimes to back up and see the big picture of it all.
Yeah, I think that's what hopefully this a moment like this on this podcast can be good, is to pull back and see a perspective of this that's different, and to say, I think for a lot of us, what we're doing is we're grieving the loss of someone that that didn't get a chance to exist.
Yeah,
and that's so difficult.
Yeah,
up close, the perspective of it when you're like in it is numb, confused, righteously pissed off, mm-hmm. and like just like fed up with all the
unfair
crap.
I mean,
you don't want to go to work. You're just like angry.
Right.
Insurance is just like breathing down your neck. And
right.
It feels like that. But if we can pull back and have a perspective, I think what we're ultimately doing is we're grieving this. We're in a deep season of grief.
Which you can step back from the painting. It's like, that's really what it is.
Yeah. And in some ways it's other things too. But for us, it was when we step back, it's, oh, but we're in a deep season of grief that our life has turned out like this.
And it's a loss of a dream. And especially around the holidays, it's a loss of that person that you've never met. That just feels weird to explain or even feel. And then it's a loss of how you thought your holidays would be or any of this season.
So my question to you, Jesse, is what's one thing that we can do to start to grieve this person that hasn't come to exist? Or how do you start to process this season in a way? Like if we're just kind of like in it and we're numb or just, rah, is there, is, what's a thing that we could do to start to grieve this?
I am going to have a very simple answer.
Okay.
Which is so un-Jesse.
Oh my gosh. All right. Let's hear it.
Don't judge yourself. I'm serious.
Yeah.
I'm really serious. If you can just take out all those negative feelings of I should, I shouldn't, I should feel this way, I shouldn't feel this way.
Yeah.
Just take them away. Just put them on the shelf for 5 minutes.
Yes. I love this. I love put where them, you're going with this.
And yeah. Like, put it on the shelf for 5 minutes. I think that as a human beings, if we just did not judge ourselves with how we feel, we would be better grievers. I'm talking to the number one person that does this. So I'm not saying, I'm talking to myself. Exactly. Of like judging myself of like, why do I feel sadder? I'm making this such a big deal, or, you know, I shouldn't feel this way, or this feels silly. Like it wasn't even a person. It wasn't even a thing. And it's like, or, you know, I'm happy. People have it worse than me.
Right.
You know, like that's a big one. People have it worse than me. Well, people have had so many miscarriages. People have had, like, they have the right to grieve.
Yeah.
But it being an actual person, not me. I don't have the right. So I just feel like if we can just even, that would be my small thing, even for 5 minutes, just put the guilt and the shame of any feelings and the, I should feel this way, I shouldn't feel this way. Because there might be people that say, I actually don't feel that way. So take that off the table, that I should feel sadder. Or I shouldn't be numb, or I should be numb. Whatever it is, take those shoulds and just put it on the shelf for 5 minutes and just see what comes up. Maybe journal if that's what you want to do. Fine. I don't really like journaling. I've never really liked journaling. Every therapist tells me to journal and I'm like, I don't really like doing that. I don't really like it. I can't spell to save my life and I just don't like it. I'm afraid someone's judging me in my journal of how bad I spell. So, but for me, it's sitting without my phone and just seeing what comes up and thinking about it and maybe putting on a song or something like that. And it's just taking 5 minutes of, I'll go back to maybe my guilt and shame later. I'm not, cause that would be impossible to be like, never feel guilt and shame.
Right.
Or you shouldn't, or you should again. It's like, that's just but it's not going
to
happen.
To seek to unburden yourself from the guilt and shame.
And just the judgment that we judge ourselves, that we're not sad enough or we're too sad. It's like, just feel it. Even if it's nothing, even if you don't really feel anything and you just feel numb, it's a practice. It's a practice of unjudging ourselves. Like, I feel like you have that sometimes, Doug, with like being tired. Like you're like, I shouldn't feel tired. I shouldn't feel tired, or I should feel tired, or whatever. And it's like, you don't do that with emotions as much, but like, as in like physical, whatever. And it's like, you could just be tired.
Be what you are,
or it's like, as an example of you, you could just be tired. And also just not know why you're tired, and you shouldn't feel like guilty of being tired. You're a human being, and Doug particularly works his ass off all the time doing a lot of stuff. Yeah. And it's like, I just feel like if we could do that with our emotions, and I think it's all inside. We have the power to unjudge ourselves or judge ourselves. And I would say a very small step is do it for 5 minutes. Put your timer on for 5 minutes and just feel and see what comes up without judgment.
Can I join that idea?
Sure. You want to come over to this side of the fence?
I do, because I was going to say the very similar thing in my world of meaning, of like looking at your life and being like, you know, is this the life that I wanted to have? Is this the holidays that I wanted to have? Is this turning out the way I wanted to? Is this my meaning? Is this... I think to unjudge yourself, unjudge whatever meaning that you thought was going to be there. Maybe you had this thing all written out. I think just like let go of the pen and just be like, I don't know. I don't know anymore. I don't know. A lot has changed, and you don't have to have your sense of meaning locked down, written in stone right now. I think things are changing. And if you're in a season of infertility, it's a season of change. It's a season of uncertainty and unknown. So I think let it be that. And don't judge yourself for not having a deep sense of meaning right now. And not having a deep sense of like, oh, boom, this is my 10-year plan. I don't know. I mean, a lot is going on right now.
I hear.
And try to not judge your, look back and judge yourself for being in a position like that.
I hear all the type A's listening to this podcast just going, sure. Like that is so difficult.
But I say that from being a type A type person.
I was just going to say, but it coming from, not probably coming from me, people, they would go like, sure thing, Sherlock. Yeah. But from you.
Incredibly type A, incredibly productive. Like go and listen to the infertility and being type A.
Yeah.
That you'll get why I say that and why I think we can say that as type A people. But I unjudge yourself. Like take the burden of judging and feeling like you're not doing it well. This is a crazy season. It's okay if you're not holding the pen of deep eternal meaning right now.
Yeah. I think that though is so interesting because that's probably in the meaning is, but my calendar and my schedule and this thing and my process is the meaning.
Yeah.
So like unburdening myself and putting down the pen is like, uh-oh, what do I even, who am I?
Yeah. That's when you go back to what you were saying and just, why don't you just put it down for a while and feel?
Yes.
Just feel for a while.
Just feel. End of the Barbie movie. Why don't you go watch that for a second? End of the Barbie movie. Just feel like, oh my gosh, I watch that scene every time and I cry. Like, cause it's so true. It's so good. That scene is just so good.
Gosh, it makes me think infertility sucks. It's such an interruption into what we were doing.
Yes.
We were all doing so much before infertility.
Yep.
Not like we were all doing much. It's like we were moving in a direction. Probably a lot of us were. And it just hit us, sideswiped us so hard.
Anyone that is listening to this, I just want you to hear that we honor that person.
Yeah.
That you were never able to meet or conceive or you lost in a miscarriage or something. Like, we honor that with you.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like sometimes the best way for me to get to compassion for myself is to have compassion for someone else. So it's like, we had that. We had that. We have that. We do not have biological children. It is something that I still feel and think about and miss and grieve and all the things. So it's like, if anything, it's like, that's us. It's like, if you can have compassion for us, we hope that you can have compassion for yourself. Sometimes that's the easier way for me to do it, is to think about someone else and not yourself. And it's like, no, like this is happening to you. And we honor these dreams. And that's a good way to put it. It's like, honor these dreams of your family that you wanted in the way that you wanted, to getting pregnant the way you wanted. That's a loss. Even people that are pregnant after infertility is like, that's not how I wanted to become pregnant. I want it to be a lot more spicy, and a lot more love in the room, you know, than this. It's like, there's so much loss in this and in this world. And today, I just want to honor anyone or just today, I want to honor all those babies that were never able to come. You know, even if you've never been pregnant, like the family and the dreams that you have had to let go of and grieve, and they are real. It's real feelings. That's what I really want people to know. It is okay to grieve them. It is real. It is a grief. It is something that is not tangible physically, but tangible emotionally. And it is okay to have big feelings wrapped around that. And you are not alone. Thank you for listening to the Infertility Feelings Podcast, a show produced by the nonprofit Uniquely Knitted. This is your place to process, cry, and laugh about infertility. We are so grateful for all of our amazing donors that we have who support our work. If you would like to learn more about how we serve the community and support the work of Uniquely Knitted, we encourage you to check out our website at uniquelyknitted.org. If you enjoy this podcast and would like more people to hear it, please give us a rating and a comment in Apple Podcasts. This is just the best way for more people to hear these conversations. If you need to talk to someone about your feelings and you are hurting, please reach out to us. We are here to help you. If you would like to learn more about our unique process groups and talk to Doug and I, please follow the link in our show notes. See you guys next week.